So I know I had sent a cursory agenda around earlier. Before we get there, though, Linda, question for you. Did I miss minutes from the last meeting by chance? Seeing them come in?
I might not have sent them out.
Okay, no worries. If we can wrap those and
I'll
this
get them
together,
out to you.
thank you. I just want to wrap those all in together as soon as we can so we can submit them into public record. And before we get into discussions around the budget and whatnot, Mike, I know you're here. I want to give you the floor first here to jump in with your updates from the CEDC perspective, if you would. You're on mute, sir.
Technologically challenged. Anyway, thank you very much. We had three things to review with you tonight. One is we did receive the final report and receipts for the Black entrepreneur market. The remaining payment is $1,600. So we have those paperwork for you. We also have found that due to some transitions, both at Rolling Grocer and here, they never, they had submitted their report in connection with their project, and that they were looking for $7,353.50. That when I went through this with the city treasurer, we determined was had not yet the final payment had never been submitted for approval or payment. So we have included that here tonight, and I can put it up these on the screen if you'd like, or I know I had sent them out. I'm hoping that you all receive them, but you know we have reviewed them. We have added up the various.
Mike, why don't just go ahead for record purposes. Go ahead and share your screen quickly if you
okay.
could. Thank you.
Let's see here. Can you see that?
No.
No. Okay.
Mike, I can do it for you if you want to just, if you want to guide me to tell me what you want up first.
Okay. Do you have the copies there?
I do. I okay. have.
Just pick one. You could do the BEM or the Rolling Grocer.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Tracy. Or Kate.
No problem. 2 seconds. Are you guys seeing that?
It just says you're share started screen sharing, but there's nothing on the screen other than that text. Is it a different monitor?
Yeah, do I need to be... not seeing it?
No. And Chris, this is why the hybrid model will probably be more in effect for meetings.
Let me try this.
I'll take an investment.
Let me try this.
Yep. There it is.
Perfect.
Is that mine or yours, Tracy?
That's mine.
Okay. So if you scroll down, you can see that everyone was sent the same instructions. Actually, if you go back to the top for a minute, I'm just page two. You go one. Yeah, you can see. Have you completed your project? You have to give a description of the scope of your project, the impact your project had, and describe your project Hudson funds in detail. Did you complete the required expenditure report, which is attached? Have you supported invoices? Yes. And then it was signed. And so if you continue to page 4 and 5, and remember, this is, you can see that, the original project was, $2,500. And it was $5,000, and payment for the remaining funding is $2,500. I know she only shows $1,600 there, but that needs to be corrected, because what happened was we advanced money to them because they needed it for the second, I guess it was a 3-weekend event. So I will get that corrected for the council.
Yep.
But we would be asking for this in the amount of $2,500. And if you scroll down, Tracy, to the receipts. Here's your budget. They actually spent $6,100. They brought in $6,100. And I'm sorry, if you go back up one. And they spent $5,389. And then you can see the expenses that are receipts for down below. If you scroll down.
Oh, really quick. I just need to interject right quick. I just got a text from Sheila. She said that she's in another meeting right now, so that's why she's not able to attend. She apologizes.
And they showed some pictures of how what the activities were like and how the event went. So, I mean, this is consistent with the reporting that we have for all of the projects as you review them and approve them for those of you who are new. So I would recommend to the board, if you have no other questions, that you approve this for the $2,500 balance to be submitted to the city council for their next regular meeting.
Great. Take a vote on it. Kate, may I start with you, please?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Nabila?
Aye.
Ivy?
Aye.
Hannah?
Aye.
Nia?
Aye.
Carries.
Now, if we go to the Rolling Grocer, as you will remember, their executive director left and went to another position. And I know that Martin Ping had contacted me and had sent this. I had sent him the paperwork. And, if you can pull up the Rolling Grocer final report.
2 seconds, Mike. I am just...
Yeah, take your time.
Pulling it over.
The joy of managing 2 to 3 monitors. Sorry, Kay.
So much fun. Can you guys?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. So if we go back to the top, this, thank you. So the Rolling Grocer Project Hudson received support they did indicate that they did temporarily suspend some of their indoor shopping they then went to increase the number of curbside pickups from 3 to 6 a day. And if you go to the next page, with the first 50% of their Hudson funds, they prioritized outfitting the mobile trailer to increase efficiencies in their curbside pickup. To date, they made renovations to the trailer's interior, added insulation, temperature control, created cold storage space, added shelves and other storage areas. Details of the cost of renovations and supplies can be found in the attached expenditure report. The remaining 50%, which you're now being asked to reimburse, was used to support the additional staff time required to operate the services through August of this year. And so if you look at their, go one back, please. You can see the expenses that they have allocated to the trailer build out, and then the part-time retail associates for a total of project expenses of $17,881. But if you go to the next page, you see they spent more than was authorized. You're not reimbursing them for any more than you had approved. They had received just under $15,000. So they actually spent more on, spent some of their own money on this as well as Project Hudson money. So again, unless there are questions, you can see the invoice, the receipts, I guess if we go all the way to the end, that's the report. If there are no questions, I would recommend that this be approved by the board.
Thank you, Mike. It's okay with the board. We'll move forward with a vote for approval. Now everybody has moved around on my screen again. So Nabila, I start with you this time.
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Ivy?
Aye.
Hannah?
Aye.
Nia?
I need to recuse myself from this one.
Okay, thank you. And Kate?
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much. Finally, we have the Free Columbia expenses. You'll recall this was the project that got started, and several of the events were held outside of the city. So the board allowed the proposer to continue the project into 2021. So last year when he completed it and he submitted for reimbursement, we rejected it. But the board indicated that if he completed the project in 2021, that it would be approved. You'll recall that you approved it. Was that the first page? You approved it in at the last meeting, subject to getting the receipts we're required to complete the payouts. And as you see, there's minor live music compensation, and then there's payroll data to show, I think that's the last page. It was only one of one on the payroll data. But it's consistent with the original budget, and the receipts match. And as you'll see, there were total paid $800 to Laura Summer and $1,875 to Nathaniel Williams, who was the proposer. And I think you, when you reviewed this the last time, you saw the pictures of the activities, and I think some of you had actually seen some of the shows that were put on. So I have the check because it was approved for payment, but I was our agreement was I would not release it until he submitted receipts. I felt it wasn't appropriate to simply release it based on my review of the receipts without getting your approval as well.
Okay, so
thanks, Mike.
So there'd be a recommendation to release his check based on his submission of the receipts that were just reviewed.
Excellent. So bear with me while I get my meeting legs, my sea legs underneath this for me here. So the first thing I need, can I get a motion to vote to release the check?
Motion to release the check.
Second?
A second.
I'll second it.
Oh, perfect. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Perfect. Carries.
Ryan, do you want to go back while Mike's with us, and do we need to read you anything that we already approved?
Yeah, if we can really quick. Can I get a motion on the first? Linda, can you read back from the minutes the first one that we went through? I know we went through a vote there quickly.
It was $2,500 final payment, remaining payment for the Black Entrepreneurs Market.
Can I get a motion, please, for that?
Current environment.
Kate? Second?
I second.
Up third.
There we go. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Getting everybody, Ivy and Hannah as well?
Yes.
You there? Okay.
Aye.
Perfect. And then the second one, Linda?
Remaining payment of $73.53.50 for Roland Grocer.
Great. Can I get a motion for this one too, please?
Motion to pay Roland Grocer.
Correct.
A second.
Perfect.
Come on, sorry. I'm recused. Never mind.
You're recused. Sorry.
Sorry.
That's okay. So a second then?
I second.
Thank you, Hannah. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
So far?
That was from bath time, I assume, but yes. Awesome. All right, excellent. Thank you for helping me go back and just amend that there. I appreciate it, everybody. Okay, Mike, what else do you have for us this evening, sir?
That's all I have. The other projects, as you know, were either, I think one was done last weekend. There were other projects, Columbia Opportunity, that's going to be finished in December. And one only started last week. At this point, we're pretty close to, we do have two open-ended projects with the Hudson Business Coalition that I am following up on to see when they're going to complete them. But you know, we're getting down to where I would hope by the next meeting, if not the following, we could close out the original Project Hudson projects, and then, you know, based on your review and budget decisions, decide how you want to go forward and what role we would play, if any.
Excellent.
Great.
I appreciate that, Mike. As always, thank you very much for.
Thank you all very much.
You're welcome to stay. I do realize it's late.
Well, it's. I'm still here, but I'm gonna. We have a workforce roundtable tomorrow, as well as a Hudson or a Columbia County IDA meeting at 8. So, I will jump. But thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The other thing before we move on with our agenda, though, just related to that, and we pick this up for the next meeting. If anybody has any outstanding invoices or bills that need to be paid from any of the programming this year, I want to try to pull that all together at least by the end of this month, just so that we've got solid record of what's outstanding as we're trying to wrap up FY21 in general. And I know, I don't believe Gary Pernhagen is on. I know that we had him a little bit later on the docket. I know there's two invoices in particular there. Kate, keep me honest. I believe one is for Michael Conti, correct? Was an outstanding one that we had.
Yeah, I think there's just one outstanding invoice from Warren Street Seasonal Usage. We can talk about it now or at the end, whatever you want to do.
We'll wait to the end. Hopefully Gary comes for it, so, but if not, all right.
And there is a Project Hudson 2 performance this coming Saturday, which I hope everybody will go out and see. It's going to be a great show in the Pocket Park now.
It moved?
Yeah, it was going to be in the Youth Center and fears of COVID and
right.
giving everyone the ability to be outside and socially distanced. So it's going to be in the Pocket Park across from Hudson Hall next to Bread Folks.
Does moving it at all change anything that we need to worry about by what was in the contract at all?
I don't believe so.
Okay, we'll just keep an eye on it. Kate, I'm sorry, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, just that it's really exciting that that Pocket Park is getting used as much as it is. And Melodious Thunk did like a great, has done a couple of amazing performances there. And it's just nice to have energy and folks using that park in a really open way, accessible way. So thanks to Chris and Nia for continuing to facilitate that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks. So let's jump over to the big question of the evening, which is obviously the discussion of what number we want to take in for Wednesday for 2022 funding. I hope you don't mind. I've taken a week to sort of kind of collect my thoughts and put together a brief presentation that I want to walk through. This week, Tom gets a sneak peek, even though he'll be in the room where it happens later this week. So I'm going to share my screen with everyone here and bear with me. I'm going to talk you through this probably over the next 15 minutes. And then I'd like to open it up for debate. We can go back to any sort of slides, but if you would just let me go through and then we can talk through the details. There's a lot of questions in here. You are all the experts and I'm counting on your input of where we can tighten this up and get your reaction to it as well. So I want to go through some of the information that had been shared with me about what the vision and the focus had been for this year in particular, talk about some of the successes that Kate has alluded to, get into some of the advisory budget numbers, and then look at what the core number ask is for the upcoming BEA meeting this week. So briefly, as we know, the board was empowered specifically to make the necessary investments that would see Hudson as a destination for overnight and day trips per the budget. We also know that earlier this year or last year that the perpetual funding that would have come out of the lodging tax would changed. And so, you know, this year in particular, we are watching the funds run down to a bit of money that's in the reserve along with what we have left, which is why we are now being faced to go in front of the BEA to ask for funding. So the information that had been shared with me really focuses on turning Hudson into a compelling place to visit with the intrastate crowd, specifically people around that magical 50-mile radius around, as well as those that are further, but focused on how we use resources like our people and our culture, the resources, the natural beauty of the valley that's around us, and what are we putting forward, combining the power of those two, specifically to entice our visitors and make this a happening place to be. I also want to quickly caveat that as an outsider before I joined the council, you know, there's a lot of criticism in general working in any city government and in particular on this committee in general. And I just want to take a minute to remind everybody that's on here tonight that the past 2 years have been absolutely unprecedented, no matter what field you find yourself in. Many of you that own your own businesses that are on this call tonight know how you've been impacted by that. Others that work maybe more in a corporate setting have seen the impacts on their own work environments. And clearly, government is not free from the impacts of that. And it's tough. You know, unprecedented times with no playbook that's there. People trying to make the best decisions that they can. It gets very demoralizing and demotivating when criticisms by a small group of people that are trying to move things forward end up impacting, you know, that motivation to continue to want to be in a chair or be in a position that helps to bring the community together in a time when people were struggling to do so. But all of that said, you know, all of the compassion that you want to have and the empathy you want to have for that situation does not mean that you don't learn lessons along the way. And I think that what we want to do, especially for 2022, is say, what are the lessons that we've learned collectively in the past 2 years, both in terms of investment and in terms of programming that have worked best for us? And how do we find an amicable path forward for everybody that works? And to do that, you need to look at some of the success that, you know, I really want to, you know, give it up to the board here, what they put together. I mean, you look back as far as just 2 weekends ago and the investments that went into the Latinx Music Festival alone, we are still 2 weeks later and I am still hearing about it from people that I know that were up here that weekend, from people in my own ward, from people that, you know, work on in the shops on Warren Street as well. I mean, it was so well received along with all of the other programming that happened this year. So, you know, take a moment and know that, you know, while it is a sizable chunk of money that had been invested thus far, the returns in terms of what the community feel out of this and the benefits that it brings, not just in terms of feel good effect for people, but also the financial repercussions about getting people into the city have been felt and are noticed. And we can talk more about that with Heather. She's working on what the actual budget impact numbers were. One thing to note on this slide, and a thank you to Chris for flagging this earlier through a thread, Waterfront Wednesdays, we do not have in this mix right now, specifically because Ms. Mosley has a personal matter she's attending to, and she does want to be present to present the impacts and the benefits of what Waterfront Wednesday has brought. But I would be remiss to not have called that out on this slide, because it's nice to see programming that is outside of the traditional weekend, weekender schedule, so to speak, for Hudson. And in that, if you start looking at it by the numbers, there were 13 total tourism-related community-focused initiatives to date. The average estimated budget was around $198,000. That's inclusive of some of the administrative fees needed for translation, printing costs to be able to spread the word. It is four fewer than 2020, however, with 14K less in funding that was done this year. But I would argue, again, looking at this both now being on the inside and then perspective from before I got into this position, that the 2021 application of the funding produced heavier impact events, brought more people together, had more oomph in terms of what it did for programming itself. And that sort of led to, as I look at where funds have been spread and how funding is being bucketed going forward, it got me thinking of ways that we can classify this budget ask for this year. So the first category is heritage programs, the second, growth initiatives, and the third, where I probably need the most help, and Kate, I'm going to ask you for some help on this call from this one, is going to be in this recurring projects category. So to start on these heritage programs, if you look at the mission of the people in the city of Hudson and where that intersects with events and happenings that stand to not only elevate Hudson's people, but bring the most financial benefit into the city, it really seems to focus in on these 11 initiatives that I could see the tourism board rallying around for success in 2022. It hits all of the cross-section cosmetic demographics of the city itself. These also tend to be multi-day, multi-weekend events that happen. And each of them absolutely bring people from outside of the city of Hudson, whether that is from neighboring towns within the county or that intra-state tourist coming from either the city or within that magical 50-60 mile radius that happens. And if we want to be modest with our budgeting, you know, 11 events at roughly 100,000. I mean, it's just under, you know, you could figure some maybe get 10,000, some maybe get even, if we really want to divide it by the 11 number, right? Are we doing it all of an even split? I don't know. I think that's going to be obviously up for discussion next year. We'll get to some recommendations as well on how to bring a little bit more transparency to the application process for 2022 as well. But, you know, again, up for debate tonight, just to put a number in front of everybody that I want to get a reaction to of 100,000 around these heritage programs, these programs that we want to protect and make sure we see happen yearly moving forward. And it brings me then to growth initiatives. Because if you take a look again quickly at what these heritage programs are, with the exception of Winter Walk, all of these are predominantly late March, maybe early April, straight through to October. We are very seasonal in that aspect. And I think we've all, you know, Chris, I think you made the comment at the beginning of this call, Zoom meetings are great because it's nights like these that you don't want to be out. And that's how most people feel in Hudson once, you know, the dead of winter hits between January and February. But what can be done in terms of growth initiatives to change that? Is it a winter bonfire festival? Is it bringing and working with some of those natural resources that you outlined to do a ski bus that would be able to facilitate getting people into Hudson, out into the county, and then back in at night to foster that overnight stay that we're looking forward to? You know, do we look to do more programming in the summertime? Do we take advantage of the children's or pocket parks and do children's films that are there? I know Linda Mussman happens to be on this call. I know TSL doesn't cater traditionally within children's films, but is that something that presents an opportunity for those businesses in the city? Food festivals. But more importantly, the idea of weekday programming, right? I go back to something that really sunk in for me is the idea that Waterfront Wednesdays was so original because it was the first thing that didn't just happen to happen on a weekend, right? There's so many other days that we just don't draw the attention to the waterfront that programming funds could go to. So for growth initiatives, knowing that we have 5 months out of the year that we're really not as focused on, 30,000, you know, even if it was 10 a month to pick to start with, doesn't seem all that much to ask. Hey, Tiffany. So bringing in combined categories 1 and 2 is a very modest ask based off of what the previous years was at the 198K that we're currently at of $130,000. Now, what I want to talk about really quick though is that how does this become more sustaining? And this is all open for debate tonight. How does it become more sustaining and how does it become a little bit more transparent in terms of what that application process is? So some of the ideas I wanted to talk through tonight are, do we open windows where you're doing programming for two halves of the year, where applications for anything January 1st through June 30th could be due by December 1st, so that concretely out of the budget ask, we know exactly how those funds are allocated. It also encourages these heritage events in particular to get their applications in early for what they would want to do. Second half of the year programming could be in by May 15th as well. You know, again, or do we look at the heritage programs and say, hey, you are the ones that we are seeking to protect and ensure can be carried on? How does that application process work? Or is it more of a free-for-all with just two open enrollment periods? Doesn't matter if your event would be in December. You could even go through for the first round of funding that we would do for consideration. You know, again, I'm looking for guidance, for input. I want some reactions on some of this thinking today. But the bigger part here is the how do we continue to do more without asking more out of the city coffers? And, you know, I need to have a discussion with the city attorney about this. Obviously, as an elected official, I'm not able to go out and ask the local businesses that are within the region for money. But I believe that the patronage positions, the appointed positions on this committee would be charged with being able to go and get funding that could go into a central fund. So is there a way when we look at the reserve, and I believe, Ivy, you brought up the reserve on our last call. You know, that money isn't like an HSA or an FSA where we need to use it or lose it. It's just there. But it's also something that, in my understanding and my discussions with the city treasurer, we are not able to grow. We can't contribute to that fund in the way that it currently stands. So is there a way to roll over the fund to be administered very similarly to how the CEDC has been working with us this past year? And then charge the tourism board members to be able to go out into the community to go get matching funds, whether that's companies like ShopRite or Mid-Hudson Cable, to be able to either choose to underwrite programming for the year or to help zone in on and sponsor one particular program that they would like to do. I think that's an option to be able to start building more funds that have a public-private partnership. The mechanisms of the tourism board still voting on exactly what the allocations would be, getting that up to the city council to approve could be there, but it would give us, again, less city-funded money with larger interest from the community to be able to really fund these projects in the way that this board has been accustomed to over the past 2 years. And I want to be very clear that I'm not talking about sponsorship or branding. I'm not looking to see, you know, the Domino's Pizza logo painted, you know, on every corner of Warren Street in any way, shape, or form. But in terms of the promotional materials, flyers, social media, there, or even the verbal thanks that happen to have or that happen on the day of the event, there are ways to make that happen. But again, all in the ways of getting these larger businesses to be able to support and uplift these community engagements that we have. And finally, obviously, we would need to look to Tom, the rest of the council, the mayor as well, likely as an endorsement of that type of financial vehicle to ensure that the tourism board could become more self-sustaining without relying on the overwhelming funding from city tax dollars every year. That would support community initiatives 1 and 2. And if you remember, I also had the recurring projects in this presentation as well, which brought me to the Warren Street seasonal usage piece of all of this, which I'm not as familiar with. And Kate, this is where, not to put you on the spot, I was going to ask if I could pick on you a little bit, because I know you spearheaded that project. I know it was a beast, and I'd love your input of, you know, what does that look like next year? Does it look like next year? What do you think? Let me pause there. That was a lot, I know, to get through, and I could see some faces cringing during this. So, Chris, I'm actually going to start with you, because I can see you and you've got your hand up. I'm going to stop the share here. I can happily go back to any of those slides.
Sure. Just a quick correction that I think there's a misnomer. The funds that tourism has been funded up until now by the lodging tax, and that lodging tax is now put into the common fund, and we're going back to the common fund to ask for funding. I think we're cognizant of not asking for more than the lodging tax is put into there, but I cringed a little when you said coming out of the taxpayer dollars, because this is coming out of the lodging tax is where this has been funded. The other thing I would like to say is that I think that there's this concept out there that to be fiscally conservative means you cut, cut, cut. And that is true to a point. You cut the fat, but you don't cut the muscle. And tourism is a revenue stream. It has brought in revenue. We were very surprised to find out in the fourth quarter of last year that we got a huge check and that sales revenues were way up. This was a really, really big surprise. It's just kind of shocking to find out how 2020, with only 6 months really where people could go out and shop, exceeded 2019. Just recently, I think in August, I think that the city got the biggest sales check in its history. So, like, I just want to correct this concept that tourism is out asking for money. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get funding so that we can invest in tourism programs that are going to help the city. We want to protect that revenue stream, number one. The other point I wanted to make was that I think that the heritage programs aren't really March through October. I think they start in June. I think June is a really heavy month. And I think that they're pretty much done with the exception of Halloween and Winter Walk by early September. So Latinx kind of on the cusp of that. So I would like to officially ask that the tourism board look for more money for growth, because tourism, in the same way that Waterfront Wednesday was able to really help on a midweek, I feel like we should be looking for programs and funding programs that can help us in October, November, December, maybe January, February, but also in that March, April, May. Like, we're so concentrated in the summer now, how do we spread that out? And I don't think $30,000 is sufficient.
What would your recommendation be then?
I would double. I would say that if we're putting $100,000 into heritage programs, then we should be looking at $100,000 to have a seed program like Waterfront Wednesdays for every season. Let's make Hudson a four-season city.
Thanks, Chris. Any other comments? Kate? Sorry, you just come off mute there.
I did just, I'm just doing some really simple math. So basically, Chris, $100,000, if there were like, you know, our maximum for the larger projects has been $15,000 allocations, with the exception of programs like Waterfront Wednesdays, where there are like multiple events that are tied into the same program. You know, so that would be like 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're talking about October, November, December, January, February, March funding, although December arguably would be winter walk. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
April,
months.
April, May.
April, May. Right.
Which and not to interject, but April and May are really big opportunities because it is getting warmer. So they're quite a bit different opportunity wise than say January, February.
Right. Okay. I just was trying to think about it from a calendar perspective. You know, we do have events, these heritage events, which I think are really valuable to the community. And you're right, they do sort of tend to be in the spring and summer, early fall months. So I was just kind of trying to think about what you were saying and equate that to like the math side of things.
Who wants to go next? I feel like a teacher in a classroom if I've got to pick on some folks here. Ivy, how about you? Any comments overall, guidance on budget, thoughts, feedback?
Yeah, I have some thoughts and I have some comments. First of all, just in regards to the structure of approving events, that was something that when Chris Calvin and I were talking about this months ago, that was something that we had proposed. Part of the reason was to manage, to continue managing the budget. The other reason was, you know, just to be able to manage the tourism board's approval and the whole process of making that all happen. So I definitely support that. We had talked about, you know, the year broken up, and that's good. I mean, you know, as far as the heritage events, that's something that the tourism board seems to have taken on at some point, which, you know, I do support in terms of the city and the, in terms of the city and in terms of what it could bring to the city. I'm concerned about, you know, I would love to see things continue 12 months out of the year. That would be great. But, you know, we also need to make sure that our city can support that, just in terms of, you know, stores are closed, restaurants are closed. You know, we need to really try to get the vendors on Warren Street and elsewhere to be supportive of that if we're going to do that. Because people are going to come here for things and they need to be able to have that support as well. So I think we need to kind of look, you know, outside of the box. And I don't think that's anything that we've really talked about yet. And then there was one other thing. I'm going to think about it and I'll raise my hand.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Well, actually, while I've got you though, I mean, and it kind of combines what, you know, you were saying and Chris, you know, what you're saying about, you know, making sure that we got more money. I think that the onus though, then there is charging the tourism board team. I mean, this, you guys are an incredibly well networked and connected group, you know, whether that's, you know, within the state or within the county, or hopefully at least within the city, you know, what stops this team from, I mean, the non-elected official part of it, what stops that team from being able to go out and solicit the underwriting, You know, I mean, I would think that there are some businesses that are out there that $25,000, $50,000 is a drop in the hat at the end of the day, especially if through the right vehicle with something like the CEDC, right? If they are the holding company, we are just overseeing how it is allocated, right? Then it becomes nonprofit territory for a donation like that. And that could increase the funding that you're looking for, Chris, and that double down mentality. Ivy, I think I just piqued your interest on something there.
It just reminded me what the other thing was. The other thing was, you know, sponsorship opportunities. I mean, I'm not sure I understand how you could expect to have, you know, Mid-Hudson Cable be a sponsor and not have them advertise somehow.
I mean, I think we would just make it really clear. I think that the advertisement, right, is like, yeah, their logo would go onto the flyer or whatever is generated. But in terms of like branding, like on, you know, on the street, like, I mean, we all know that like we don't allow businesses like a Starbucks on Warren Street, right? Like we're keeping it very like small business friendly and whatnot. At the event, yeah, I mean, if it was down at the waterfront and they want to set up a kiosk and a booth to try to sign people up, I don't necessarily personally see the harm in that. If they're underwriting and they're there to, you know, try to sell their wares just like any other vendor would at a street fair in that aspect.
I think my perspective on this is first and foremost, I guess, like, what is the vehicle? Is there a vehicle? Tom, like, is this something that the tourism board
can do?
Like, that's really, truly my first
Tom, question. You want to jump in?
Yeah, that's one of the three things I'd like to address. First of all, I'm not sure this could work out. On the other hand, if the tourism board decide to become more independent and raise funds, then they could also decide how to spend it on their own without having to go to the council. And that means being separated from city government. But I'm not sure that other proposal that you suggested, Ryan, is legit.
I'd have to work through all that with Jeff, too. Right. These are just, you know, I'm trying to think of ways of.
No, I understand. It's worth thinking about if it's possible. Secondly, in conversation with Jeff, the last two rounds of tourism board expenditures were kind of not necessarily, well, to a certain degree, rushed. And, you know, a couple small mistakes were made, I think. But that's okay, because we were responding to pandemic, as you said in the beginning. But Jeff has suggested that we, come January, sort of need to really define yourselves much better. Not just in terms of mission, but, you know, how it's set up and everything else. Because, you know, once we defunded it from the lodging tax, it kind of created a certain kind of vacuum there, which gets me to my third point. Chris said that this is all money that has come in from the lodging tax. A slight correction in the way that it isn't, because the lodging tax actually has decreased as sales tax has gone up. So I know you were thinking, and it's understandable, you were thinking, well, this tourism is bringing in, I mean, sorry, lodging is still bringing in this kind of money, but it's not. So one thing we might do, or you might do, is find out if the old standard allocation was in effect, what would actually the tourism board be getting? And then maybe adjust your number to that. Just an idea. It's not, you know, but it's not as healthy as it once was. I think you're absolutely right. I know you're right about the sales tax, but it just might mean that a lot more people are day trippers who are spending a lot of money, you know, or something like that. I mean, we don't have real analysis of it to be certain. But
fair enough, but we did, in all honesty, go after day trippers. You know, we did
prioritize. I'm not being critical of that at all.
No, I know. I'm just saying, fair enough. That kind of proves the point that yes, we tapped into something.
Yep, that's all.
To your point, Tom, defining it for next year, right? I mean, if it sticks within any of the definition of overnights, right? I mean, and Ivy, I think, you know, you said this well, too. It's how do we work with the existing infrastructure of any of the overnight establishments in Hudson to even get their front desk teams to be asking, like, what brings you to Hudson, right? How are we recording that we can get that checkbox on, oh, I'm here for Pride this weekend, or I'm here for the Juneteenth Festival this weekend, like the direct lead gen or the qualifying metric to be able to relate back to whatever the efforts are. But that's 2022 planning as a whole. So Hannah or Nia, Nabila, any feedback?
I like what you said about getting feedback from, like, even just the front desk, like find out what brings these day trippers and tourists in, and that would be a good reporting. So we can say, okay, what brings you here? That helps us have a resource of tapping in for our reporting. So I've definitely really liked that idea, because it is important for us to know what's working and, you know, have a resource how to report it back.
It seems like, I agree, Nia, for sure. It seems like, Ryan, we should tap into the Hudson Business Coalition.
That's the Triglia, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just sort of try and connect all of those dots and see what mechanism there might be for trying to make that something that's institutionalized for all of the hotels.
So very quickly then, just going back to our numbers, if I may share my screen again really quickly. What are the feelings on going in for the 100K on what we know are sort of base level programming that works and works well?
I mean, I think that makes sense. I think all of these different programs were such big successes this year, and I think it would be a waste not to continue them year after year.
Like two of them in particular, like I know, you know, June was a mess, and I say that having worked with the county health department at the time. You know, Flag Day was in, it was out. It was in, it was out, because it was, we were just emerging from vaccine hangover into being able to get back out there. That's why Pride initially wasn't going to be doing much of anything. And even the Bangladeshi Cultural Festival didn't apply for the funding this year, but they're on here because we know that they're institutions, right? In that aspect. So I think it's this 11. Is there anything that's missed?
Is Warren Street seasonal usage, which category does that fall under?
That's under this recurring project piece, which, so Kate, this is where I'm totally lost. I mean, do you have any thoughts on what this should look like for next year?
I mean, I think we really have to talk to the businesses and see what they feel like they need. My perspective is that obviously sales tax is up significantly, which means that the businesses are, they have been successful, which is obviously great for everyone. I guess my perspective would be that we should, you know, I think there were 37 total participants at the end of the day for this program. If we figure out what the costs are for next year, which would be a project manager fee, you know, fixing the planter boxes, DPW's cost, the minimal administration costs, and figuring out the lost parking revenue piece, and divide that by the total number of businesses who'd like to participate, it seems like it would be a pretty accessible cost for entry for folks who wanted to just participate next year. So I think I would recommend, when we close out Warren Street seasonal usage this year, do a survey, ask who would like to participate next year, figure out maybe by that time what the cost would be for participation, and pass that cost directly on to the businesses.
Hey, how many weeks does it go?
I mean, it could start earlier this year. It went from Memorial Day and through November 7th this year.
I mean, so as you were going, I was just breaking the math down. based on, and these, the numbers that I had in the presentation tonight are just numbers that were from this year's budget as a baseline. We own a lot of that. And correct me if I'm wrong, we own all of that infrastructure now too, right? So
all of it.
So obviously that cost goes down. Even at that $42,000, if you're telling me 37 businesses participated, divide the cost by the 24 weeks, you're asking under $50 a week to expand the physical footprint of a store. Passing that cost on to the business doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah, I mean, I think it largely depends on, you know, it's an issue of scale, of course.
Right, so yeah, depending on how many.
It largely depends on how many businesses want to participate. But, you know, I think definitely the city has been so gracious in helping businesses through COVID expand into the streets. And next year, given everyone's success, and if they want the project to continue, it feels like it would be very reasonable to ask businesses to participate in that.
Not bad. Any comments on that?
Sounds like a great plan.
I think it's a great plan as well. Also, I just wanted to interject that, you know, since I've been really active with our pocket parks, especially on the entrepreneurial side, that has really been helping a lot of locals that have small businesses even start with their, you know, economic growth and their reporting as well. We started a little late this summer, but and we'd like to, you know, continue doing pocket parks every year, but maybe we can even start it in the spring and keep it going until like past October, and that can help with growth as well. We've seen a lot of tourists that walk by, or they'll stop by and say, I'd like to purchase it now, and then they'll pick it up on their way back to the car, and they've even brought friends back. So that definitely is helping with tourism for the city, as well as our small entrepreneurs that are really up and coming. So that's another fact. I just like to throw that hat in the ring as well.
Sure. Tom?
Two things. One is that whatever money you request, it's worth remembering that any proposal you bring that's not in your budget can be brought to the council for funding.
Okay.
And secondly,
I was going to say, is that how, because it sounds like it's TBD on the shared streets, I'm sorry, the seasonal streets piece of it versus the other two.
Yes, yeah, seasonal so. Usage.
I always trip up on that. I'm sorry.
Wasap,
thank you.
And then secondly, somebody's playing music.
Someone's serenading.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. The second point is, if you look at most budget proposals that we get at the BEA, they're generally not something like what you have posted right now, growth initiatives. I mean, we really kind of budget to specific costs. I know that doesn't help you in some ways, but it's going to make your conversation on the budget
more difficult. I understand.
Yeah, I guess more difficult is, I was kind of avoiding saying that, but yes.
Well, that's,
so
I guess,
Brian, if I could just ask a specific question about it, because this is my first time going through this process, Tom. If we break out sort of like the allocated funding based on the heritage programs more specifically,
yes,
and go to the BEA with that, like would that, like the tourism board supports heritage fund programs being funded. Here's the specific allocation that we've done in the past. This is what we'd like to ask for 2022. You know, we can contextualize Warren Street seasonal usage and say, we're going to do an eval as we close out those projects, see who would like to participate next year. We're planning on passing that cost back on to businesses. You know,
it's a lot to ask, I know, in 2 days, because your first presentation's in 2 days. But yes, that would be good. And most budgets also provide sort of have prepared a narrative. I mean, you already done that. But I mean, you know, explaining how you're doing your funding, it might help to talk. I know you have a short time to do this. But not necessarily all these events are going to want to have funding from the city next year. For example, I know Waterfront Wednesdays was working towards self-sustaining. So I don't know.
Right. I think that. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like, for example, on this list is the Bangladeshi Cultural Festival, and they did not request any tourism board funding right. this year. So it will be a little bit of, you know, we're trying to be sort of fair to all.
Yep.
But yes, help, I get it.
Help me understand this a little bit, though, because I don't understand this process, because I've done this in the business world where you will try to allocate for a new product or a new initiative, for example. How does the city, like, how do we go about funding things that are beneficial for the city, such as a bonfire or a music festival? You know, how do we go about that process?
You mean to put it in the budget?
Well, to right, parking nominal fees for a platter of ideas that, you know, we can't commit to yet because we want to refine them more to figure out which of those actually is the idea to stick.
This is unprecedented in my experience in the budget. We don't do that. We every budget line.
Unprecedented.
Yes. If you look at our budget
document. Other city.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. If you look at our budget
document. I was just going to say.
Go ahead, Chris.
There's a lag.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, how does a city say we're going to build a skate park? Or how does a city, like, how do we grow if we're only going to fund things that are already in existence? That's what my... Yeah. challenges.
Yeah, no, I'm not, I didn't say you could, right. I think the key there, that's what I was trying to get at with when I said you should have specific numbers for these events. Because if you wanted to fund a skate park, you'd come up with a estimate and that would be put into the budget.
One challenge I'll have to that though, Tom, is that with the specific numbers to each event, we won't know what each of these events actually has in funding as well, right? So the application process should be like better structured to know if one event came to us and already has $50,000 in funding and another comes to us and has $50 in funding, right? I mean, like, we obviously want to try to help prop everybody up so they can really make an impact based on what they would need to do for Hudson. We're not going to know that.
Well, I was just thinking how it's cool that some of these, like Waterfront Wednesdays, is trying to be self-sufficient, self-funded. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's almost like if we sort of created, like, you know, if it was the budget of $100,000 for these heritage groups, and we could find a way to help and support these events and organizations to become more self-sufficient, that frees up more money in the budget to then create more heritage events or, you know, or offer up like one-offs or things like that. And I do think that if we set it at the twice a year,
Open windows.
So, you know, we can sort of have this time when we review it all, and we could even, maybe it's something like these ones we've deemed heritage who have proved tried and true, like people, you know, they get sort of pushed the top. And then if someone doesn't request as much or they're not going to look for funding this year, then that leaves us more room to review some of the other ones.
Correct. And then couple that with that ability where if the tourism board is able to go out and get its own funds on top of it, then as Tom said, even if that wasn't then administered by the CEC, that's where there's the potential to operate independent of having to go to the council through self-raised sponsorship or underwriting, where there is more to be able to spread around amongst an existing group or do new things with through that underwriting capability. And Hannah, to your point then, right, is how do you get somebody on track through maybe a graduated process to where the event is so well known, people are skipping over the tourism board and going right to them to want to fund it.
Right. And I think during just doing the Project Hudson, we had to do a lot of just kind of support, even like helping people write budgets and stuff, which I think is really cool because it, you know, it's educating people to produce their own events and create these you know, ongoing festivals or whatever. So I think that that could be like a cool component of the tourism board is creating sort of a support group or advocacy group for these organizations.
I mean, it kind of goes back to one of the things that Tom said off the bat that I think is really interesting, which is, what does a separation look like? And maybe it's not in the context of the 2022 heritage budget in its entirety, but, you know, maybe that is something, as per like Tom's recommendation, we really do need to detail out, you know, here are the heritage projects that we feel like deserve funding. Here's the funding allocation that we gave to these projects last year. This is the allocation request from the BEA specifically. You know, as we, any underages, for example, that come out due to additional or matching funding can be reallocated to some of these new initiatives, but that's really our core bucket to start with. And the precedent is funding the heritage initiatives. So, you know, the application process would be like heritage initiatives first based off of budget funding. If there are underages, those underages could be applied to new initiatives. And at that point, if there's a mechanism to sort of separate and then get funding from outside sources for any additional new ideas, we could think about doing it that way. I don't know, Tom, you know, I think I largely sort of rely on your perspective in this process and how you view it.
One thing I wanted to, well, a couple of things. I agree with you about the shared streets. I wanted to address that first, that it shouldn't, first of all, because it has to, it relies on the mayor's decision, it shouldn't be really put into the budget until you've done what you suggested. That's what I wanted to really emphasize. In other words, do the analysis afterwards, see if businesses still want it, will they fund it, all that kind of thing. Because it all relies, I mean, you can't, as a board, you can't decide to do shared streets. You can, you know what I mean? So you might as well hold that off until you've done the analysis. What was your other question, though, Kate?
Oh, nothing. It sounds like just sort of like specifically allocating funding recommendations, attaching it to the heritage projects. You know, we won't be able to say like today we're 100% going to give Flag Day this allocated budget because we don't know what their request will be today. But it would be, that would be the max spent on those heritage projects. And then any underage could be allocated to new initiatives, essentially.
Right. One last thing, Ryan, you might want to check before Wednesday. You know, what line will this come under? You know, because we used to, when we funded the events budget, I'm not sure where that fell under. It may have come under the council budget, but I'm not sure. But it's worth finding out. As Chris says, I mean, there are other cities that must have, I mean, in the state guideline, because, you know, there's state requirements for how you enter things into budgets, and it must be able to fall under something because other municipalities do fund tourism, so it might be worth figuring out how that's done elsewhere. Correct. That's it. Thank you.
I'm going to go down the row here. Chris, you were next, and then Ivy.
Yeah, I just for clarification, I fully understand having like a line item and having the funding requested. Is it possible for us to say, to ask and allocate money for a spring event and a fall event without having the specifics, or is that too challenging?
You can do it. I don't know. I can't speak for the entire BEA. That's the thing, you know?
No, I understand that. I'm just thinking like, there's got to be a way that we could do something that helps bring people to the city during these, you know, the bumper seasons, you know, the seasons around summer. So maybe that's something. I mean, if it's shot down, it's shot down, but it's certainly worth a try.
It's a way to, well, Chris, that brings me to, Ivy, before I get to you, Chris, that just brings me to a question for the group, which is parking that under that growth initiatives piece, right? Like more seasonal variety there. Is 30 enough of a number? Or how I should say, you know, how does this team feel about that 30K number? The 100 for Heritage, is it 30? Is it less? Is it more? You know, what are some thoughts? Chris, I know your thoughts on it already, but
I'm always going to ask for more because I think that the arts, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this as a criticism, but I feel like when we don't look at the arts and we don't look at culture, we're throwing away a huge opportunity to build Hudson and Hudson's future. And we're going to cede our cultural leadership to another municipality that is smarter on this. And that's all I'll say on it.
It's a fair point.
And Tom, your point is actually that, like, if, so let's just say we ask for this, you know, heritage events line item out, it's pretty specific. We know what, you know, we can go to the VEA. You guys know what you're getting. Let's say we have an initiative in the spring that we really feel strongly about. There's no reason why we can't, through some application process mechanism vetting, go back to the, can I just finish the question? Mm-hmm. Go back to the budget for, go back to the Common Council and request that. I'm just trying to understand the mechanisms. Is that, I heard.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Something. You could always come to the Common Council as a board to ask for more money. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Ivy.
This is my question. Tourism Board has been working under this fund that has existed. It's been a finite amount. That amount's running out. Now we're at the point at which we need to ask for more funds. We're basing the funds on the heritage events and things that we know exist. I mean, is there no way that we can put in some sort of projection? I mean, I feel like, you know, we're relying on the fact that, yeah, we can go back to the Common Council and they're going to give us some more money, but our fund has run out. Common Council has a, you know, where the BEA has a, you know, an overall budget, the big picture, City of Hudson. You know, I'm just afraid that, you know, I'd call it a contingency, call it a projection. Like, how can we pose it? Like, perhaps it's something that, you know, Chris was suggesting. You know, we're proposing on doing some sort of other seasonal events that we want to allocate some money for, because I'm just afraid that, you know, if 100,000, 30,000 for this, you know, for other things that may come up, we haven't taken into consideration. Granted, it's an unknown, Warren Street seasonal usage. You know, we may go to the council and they may say, no, you know, we allocated our money elsewhere. You know, that's my concern.
But the truth of the matter is they could say no to any of these initiatives.
Of course.
So it's not, you know, the council gets to say yes or no, we support or don't support any of these initiatives, even once they're allocated into the budget like this. So it's really just like, we would like to ask the BEA to set aside this dollar amount for these projects that we know we want to bring back in 2022. Any additional funding, we will come to the council with a plan, a program plan, et cetera, and ask for the funding at that time, including Warren Street seasonal usage. You know, that would be, to me, based off of the process, the mechanisms that I understand that the BEA have to go through, that would be sort of like where I land with it.
I agree with Kate there. I think that kind of would tie us into being more of like an advocacy, like we could advocate for these people and the projects and organizations that come to us in front of the Common Council, because we have the experience and know what the Common Council will be looking for. But also I was just thinking about going back to the 100K and then the idea of 30K. 30K makes sense to me if we, because 15K was about the biggest chunk that we would give to these events. And so if we allocated 15K to, you know, fall, winter, or late summer, fall, and then winter, early summer, half divided the year in half, then that would allow us 15K for one big future project and 15K for another big future project halfway through the year.
And just really quickly on that, Hannah, like where we got to the numbers from on this. So the 198, that was the ballpark of what was been spent this year. back out the roughly $97,000 to $100,000 that were these 13 projects, the heritage projects, and take out some of the more nuanced pieces that were this year, Melodious, Thindlestiff, all of those others, and then completely remove Warren Street usage and just park that separate. That's how it kind of came down to that round 100,000 number for the annuals, the heritage programs, right? And then ballparking that 30K for those bumper month, bumper seasons. So, you know, I'm confident in looking at what everybody has spent that the 100K can do well for the heritage pieces. It's the growth areas, right? Where is the question? So I think that's what it comes down to. What I want to try to find consensus here is 30 the number we want to walk into, knowing that we may have an incredible opportunity that presents itself to us next year that we can take to the council and ask for more money? You know, or are we going in now with a higher number that they may or may not approve to try to just know that we've got those funds locked under that growth initiatives category?
I mean, just like to say they may or may not approve any or all of this.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's, and I guess like based off of the recommendation, if we're asking for additional funding that's less specific, we should draw some parameters around it. Like the $30,000 would go to fund, you know, three winter month initiatives.
Or say, yeah, three initiatives between November and April, right?
Yeah, right. And I don't know, you know, if that's sufficient. It sounds like that may be too ambiguous. But, you know, yes, that's all I have to say.
Any other comments on that?
No, I agree with Kate. I would say the same thing.
Okay. Was this helpful? I didn't mean to hijack the meeting on this part. I just, for me, it helped my brain think through of like context for us to work through it. You know, any other comments from the board members on just tightening up this a little, tightening this up a little bit before, you know, Tom,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Tom goes at it on Wednesday for us.
Yeah, I guess I do have questions about that. Like, what are our clear next steps between to get us from now to Wednesday? Is there anything else that the board needs to do to assist Ryan in your presentation? Like, we're all together now, so
I don't think so necessarily. I'm going to send through. Are you all comfortable working in Google Forms?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll send through a shared doc of this, though, that we can all jump in on language, at least just to tighten this up. If I can ask for all final input by 8 o'clock tomorrow night, is that doable for everybody? I do realize it's short notice. I apologize if anybody's working or whatnot, but if you're all able to carve out some time to go in just to really add in last thoughts, comments and whatnot, that would be good. And Tom, the other thing is, right, I mean, Wednesday is the first pass at this, right? I mean,
that's right. It's just round one. And I just want to also remind you, it's not the final word. The council cannot add to the budget. It can only subtract. And I know there are a couple members who have said, you know, are very attentive to what's going on with this board. You know what I mean? They're thinking about it. So one or two have proposed, actually two people have proposed that the tourism board should always come to the council for money first. So we're not looking at that right now as a model. I just want to say that there may be some opposition when you get to the council. I hope not. But, you know, that's been the case, as Kate rightly pointed out. You've had to go to the council every time you've approved something. It's not like because you had the money, you were able to use it whatever way you wanted to, you know? So
I really like that the council gets to approve the proposals. I think it's the way it should work. And if they don't agree with something or have questions about something or something doesn't seem right. Like, that it's the way government should work. So I actually have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yep.
And then Tom, on the side funding mechanism and whatnot, I can continue that conversation with Jeff Baker just to figure out the ins and outs of the legalities. Okay.
There's one other piece we haven't discussed yet, and that is the whole idea. And this is something that Tamara Dillon has talked to me about a couple times, and that's the idea of grants. You know, can we get some guidance on how we can go to the I Love New York? Because, I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but I think Hudson is really, really interesting and a lot more interesting than some other municipalities. How do we get some money to go to town with that?
That's interesting.
Invite Hockle for a visit, Tom.
What's that?
Got to invite Kathy for a visit.
Yeah, no, it's more getting our grant writers to look at this possibility. There's let's say that's on the agenda.
A off the cuff idea. Could we ask for funding for a grant writer to help us figure this out as a line item?
You could, but we could just include that in our regular grant writing. I mean, we have a grant writer line. Great. And the point is, we've never had a tourism board before who wanted to do such a thing. But it's totally possible, since you're a city. You wouldn't need a lot of the groups come to us, you know, might have an MOU or something like that. And it's sort of like, well, we're not sure whether we should be expending money in their support. You are city based. So you completely fall under, in my view anyway, what our grant writers can do. So
we should. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yes.
I think we should really. That's
yes. Great. I mean, we just never thought of it. I mean, we, the tourism group here, really. I mean, you did think of it, but you had your own money to spend. So now it's worth thinking about the grant possibilities. Because there is money for it. There's definitely money out there.
To continue that growth without having to keep going into the same approval processes that we do right now just to even get base level funding. So.
Was that a question? I didn't quite.
No. I'm just complimenting. I like the idea is what it is. So
yeah.
I'm also hyper cognizant that I've kept everybody an extra 30 minutes over here, which I apologize. So is there any additional business from the board members outside of these budget elements? I'll put this up online for us tomorrow morning and then just send you each the link to make sure that you can weigh into it.
I think that Nia and I wanted to just talk to the board very briefly about the Pocket Park market and we have realized that we really need to get some sort of signage. We've been doing some makeshift signage. Do we need to ask permission from the tourism board for an expense like that?
It depends. What kind of signs are you having made? Because, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, if it's marker location, doesn't DPW have a sign maker or sign contract? I think they all use the same one that the county does, and it comes at such a reduced cost.
Yeah, that's a hard. Oh, sorry.
You're on mute.
Those are, you know, metal signs. I don't think you're talking about that, Chris. Something like that, or
we're talking about just
like a poster.
Tall poster board.
Like a restaurant sign board,
sandwich board, stuff like that. Helps draw people to the pocket parks, so they know.
So we do the tourism board does have an allocation for administrative costs for things like signs and printing, et cetera. That's already been allocated and designated by the treasurer's office. So I think we should just check the balance of that, Chris. And if I'm not incorrect, I think that would fully fall into that category.
Especially, if it's under a certain level, too.
Right.
I mean, it's not a big expense. We're just trying to go through the proper channels.
Yeah, and as I believe it was Ryan who discovered Pro Printers is the best deal around for that kind of thing.
Absolutely is. Absolutely.
The one on Fairview?
Correct.
The one on Fairview, the old Mercury.
Incredible. And in Hudson.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other business from the board? Can I open it up then to comments from the public, please?
Hi, Ryan.
Yep. Oh, hi. Is it Dominic?
Yeah. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I just got a couple comments. First thing, I think this is probably one of the most productive in terms of meetings that in terms of getting a big picture of some things. And I want to thank everyone for that. It really, I don't know, made me think about some of your funding thoughts and some of the directions. And so I think it was a very productive and educational meeting. But that being said, I brought it up at the council meeting, as you know, regarding, you know, the issue of ADA and, you know, the continued struggles I seem to have with some of the tourism and some of the projects that are being funded, and not considering ADA, and with the recent thing with the pocket park, really, you know, as everybody knows, we're under a DOJ settlement that really opened up some liability with a contingency of an AD porta potty and not being implemented. That is a deep concern. Also, the project or program that was supposed to be, you know, this weekend, I think at the youth center, correct? And now it's at the pocket park. Well, the youth center is one of the marked locations of not being ADA compliant. So when these are not being thought of in the tourism board of saying, wait a minute, what can we do and bring it? We have an ADA coordinator, you know, in the city that should be involved in some of these things that, you know, to make sure that what's being funded by city funds, whether it's however you think of it, but it's still city funds, that they are being at least as much as possible ADA considerations.
Yep. Dominic, I think we can add that into the revised application process for next year too, right? It's the, let's make sure that becomes its own section for people to check off when applying, like, where are you planning to have it, right? Like, so if somebody were planning to have it in the, I don't know, like the upstairs of the Helsinki, we know there's not an elevator, right? So like thereby it doesn't meet the requirements that we need them to fulfill.
Yeah. And I tell you what, one of the greatest things that I was very warming was when the Bindlesnik Circus offered ASL interpreters at their circus this year. I think that speaks volumes on where some of these events can go and being inclusive. So I just wanted to make that comment and that moving forward be more inclusive in terms of the ADA.
The other thing, Dominic, just to point out too, and board, please correct me if I'm wrong. I know you brought up that one porta potty spend in particular, though, but since confirming, we still have the funds for that because it was never spent or allocated. So that is money that is still within the tourism board's reserve. It wasn't lost funds on a project. Am I correct there, Kate, Chris?
I'm sorry. Well, I was not manning that initiative, but Chris... It's
Chris, we still have the funds since it wasn't spent for that portion of it.
Funds for the only funds that we haven't even tapped into them yet, but we will be is the fee for people who are performing. But we've as of now not tapped into the city funds at all for the pocket parks.
Is there any more plans for the pocket parks event?
There is going to be a pocket park market this coming Saturday, and then the following 2 weeks from that will be the what was touted as the last one. We have been asked by vendors to continue it into November, so that was something that was discussed at the last meeting. I don't think we've really settled on anything yet.
So is there plans to follow through with the ADA porta potties since that's a contingency of the funding, since there's two more events?
Absolutely. We'll make sure that happens. We know that was Chris, it was contingent. So I think we just need to we'll make sure that that happens, Dominic.
Okay. And just a suggestion, moving forward, I think that maybe, you know, would be nice, and I think even our city website should have, you know, where, you know, in the city are ADA compliant bathrooms. You know, we know the train station, we know the library, you know, these, you know, I think we should identify them. And I think maybe the ADA coordinator should be, you know, on point with this, you know, so people know where in the city are the bathrooms, you know, and their hours of operation.
I think that's all good for 2022 signage elements in that aspect. Yep, the visitors maps, all of that fun stuff.
And I would add in as well that this is a big topic in the city. Other people have talked about toilets. I've been to municipalities, Sag Harbor comes to mind, where you have an ADA compliant toilet that's available for the public. And I would love to challenge the Common Council to put that into a budget and see if somehow an infrastructure, we could have a public toilet so we don't have to use porta potties, which quite honestly, very few people like.
But Chris, you're speaking to the choir. I mean, I know the waterfront break now is the only one that, you know, but yeah, I've, you know, some central locations that we identify, I mean, that they're open during certain times, absolutely.
And if I can help in any way on that, I'm more than willing and able to do that.
And I guess one short term thing that we could do, Dominic, is to make sure that the ADA coordinator reviews any applications that come in and flags and helps us just make sure that we are being ADA compliant with any and all of our initiatives. So I think we should just integrate that into our process moving forward.
Sure. And I would love to take a look at that too. And just so to see if there's, you know, to check off, you know, what's included. So, you know, all bases are covered. Thank you.
Great. Totally.
Alderman Garriga.
Yes, I would have to agree with Dominic on that one because the entire city has to be ADA compliant. My question is who is the person that you contact for the Pocket Park event?
It's Chris and Nia, Tiffany.
Thank you. And how are you recruiting the vendors?
We've been posting them actually on Facebook, on Instagram, as well as our personal pages, and also it's on the Hudsonian. We also have a Facebook page. It's even on my personal page. So it's also posted on the Hudson Public Community Board Facebook page as well. And with the requirements, as well as Chris's information as to contact him. Also on our Facebook page, even so, the requirements to become a vendor, that you must have your New York State tax certificate.
Okay. Could you send me that information? Because I haven't seen it. Thank you.
Sure. I'll send it to you. I'll stay in a link.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tiffany. Any other questions from anyone in the public? All right. I appreciate everybody's time tonight. Again, I know we've gone quite over, but important to do so. And thank you for providing that time. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn.
I'll motion.
Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right, perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, everybody. Really appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.